Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Enjoying life and marriage, according to Ecclesiastes 9:9, is a decision. It's not an outcome.
Ted Cunningham on Focus on the Family Minute.
It's something you decide. It's something you choose, not something you wait for. Not waiting for a certain season in life. You make the decision. Let's enjoy life together. And be honest with you, the first 7 years of marriage, Amy and I, we did not enjoy it. We were in love and we were committed and we removed the divorce word from our marriage. But man, we had the struggles early in marriage, as many young couples do. Until about 7 years in, we made the decision that we are going to enjoy life together. And my wife, Amy, is way better at this than I am. She said, you know what? We're going to have fun with everything. Anything irritating, frustrating, annoying, pet peeves, we're just going to choose to find a way to enjoy life together.
Choose to have fun with your spouse and enjoy life together. More from Ted at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Today's guest is Susan Shelley from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. You may remember she was on a few months ago talking about Save Prop 13 ballot initiative, and we're going to be talking about the update on that. We're going to be talking about the billionaires tax ballot initiative, which apparently has majority likely voter support in California. It has not yet been officially qualified, but I understand that they have enough signatures to qualify. So we're going to talk about that. And we are going to be talking about the LA mayor's race because I can't look away. It's the most fascinating politics I've seen, and I just get so jaded about politics, but there's something really bright and hopeful about Spencer Pratt's campaign. And he's just so compelling in how he is basically saying, you know, we had this beautiful city. Why are we letting it go completely to seed? So anyway, we're going to talk about his campaign at the very end as kind of our final treat after getting sad about taxes. And before we do that, before she calls in, I do want to unpack some of the stories that we've been covering the last few weeks with our guests. I've been getting lots of feedback and questions about them. And if you have any questions or feedback now, please call in at 238-5775 or 238-KPRL. Same thing, same number. You can also text me at those numbers. These texts come up nice and clear on my screen. It's so technologically advanced. So if you don't want to hear your own voice or have anyone hear you or know who is asking the question, this is a nice anonymous way to do it. But that all said, I do feel that, I guess we weren't on last week because of Memorial Day, and I hope everyone had a lovely Memorial Day. But I would like to know, I heard a lot of people tell me that they wish that Katie Tolento, who was on 2 weeks ago, could have been on longer, which I agree. I feel like we just started scratching the surface of everything we could have discussed, because she really was in the heart of DC policymaking from the Senate to the White House for a very long time. She understands the healthcare system and why it's broken. And that's why I connected with her when we did finally meet as she left the White House, because she had been working on this law that I was very invested in too, to push price transparency. And it ended up being an executive order, and then there was lots of back and forth. But basically, it was the question, what do things actually cost at a hospital? What do you actually charge for having a baby or getting a bone reset if you break your arm? What do these things cost? And there was never a straightforward way of getting this answer. And so this was pushed by Katie and others during Trump's first administration. And then I covered all that because it mattered a big deal. It mattered a great deal to me after what I saw of the healthcare industry on the other side, not as a patient, but as on the inside of what the policies that the lobbyists are writing for are, not only members of Congress, but for the regulators. And when this transparency bill law passed and everyone, all the hospitals and insurance companies, said it was going to somehow collapse the whole system, and it was truly amazing. I went through all the big hospital systems to see if they were actually complying with the law. And they do this thing where they'd embed a spreadsheet in some obscure corner of their website that you would have to download, and then your eyes would glaze over because it was just a spreadsheet of numbers that made no sense out of context. And there was no way that you could look at that and say, okay, what am I going to be billed if I go to the hospital for this and this? So anyway, she was one of the people behind that, but there's so many other policies that we could discuss with her. And her Substack is really interesting because she is an optimist that the public is really moving away from the healthcare system as we know it. And I kind of feel that way too. I was talking to a friend about this, and she said it's going to be like bankruptcy, or what F. Scott Fitzgerald said about bankruptcy, where it's slowly and then all at once. Because it's just so difficult. The insurance system is so difficult. Obamacare so clearly does not work. My family is stuck in that world now because you have to if you're self-employed. And we don't even use it. It's more, everything is denied. So there's actually feels like there's no point in using it. So I think that there is a lot of hope for some true systemic change, but I think it has to start from us, not from the top. And I'd love to talk to her a little bit more about that. But I also want to go back to the conversation we had with attorney Nicole Pearson when I first came back from maternity leave on the cloud seeding topic. She, of course, is one of the attorneys with a group called the Geophyte. And they are pushing for transparency and just a public say in the whole cloud seeding and weather modification phenomena, which has gone from an insult if you were viewed as someone talking about it because it was not really happening, you're a conspiracy theorist. And now, I mean, it's obviously happening because the Government Accountability Office and the federal government talks about it, and our local governments are deploying this technology. And then there is a company in Israel that has raised a ton of money to block the sun. So yes, it's not a conspiracy theory. And I think that because this is such a huge, I mean, this could change the world, change how all of us have to live. It's really important, and I'm really grateful that she and her fellow attorneys at the Geofight got together and created this group to start the very painstaking and what's going to be a very long and complicated process of gathering evidence and trying to take this effort to the court. She did follow up with me after she came in. She said, please, 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 if you're interested in this conversation at all, go to their website, which is thegeofight.com. Geofight is geofight.com. And just subscribe to her emails and updates. She doesn't send very many. I've subscribed. And she also asks people who can vet their experiences without bias to, that's my words, not hers. She's basically asking for evidence and accounts of what you've observed in cloud seeding operations around here in your experience so that they can really start compiling data. There is no one compiling data. The U.S. Government Accountability Office, as I mentioned on that show just a few months ago, said that the federal agency that should be overseeing these operations doesn't have any real grasp on what's going on in the skies. And one thing that Nicole said that I did not know, because I thought I was being informed and looking up, you know, who might be doing the cloud seeding, that was really, really bothering me last month for days and days at a time. I just assumed it was the local government and that project to bring more rainfall to Lake Lopez, because that had been approved by the Board of Supervisors. And I believe the government website that the cloud seeding operations in California were all kind of locally decided. And I was getting pretty fired up to go over to the Public Works, which is the agency in San Luis Obispo County that greenlights this and manages these cloud seeding groups. But then she pointed out that we don't really know, because these other groups, there's no real oversight on other private companies or state efforts or federal efforts to start spraying all these toxic heavy metals into our skies. So anyway, it's important to just be in touch with her group, because, you know, there's just no, I'm so tired of the concept of keeping your head down and hoping things will get better. They will not get better. And this is literally going to decide our air, our soil, our harvest. These efforts can choke us, sicken us, starve us, and our children. So it's really important to stay in touch with other people who are fighting it, because it's something that the will of the people is clearly not of interest to anyone. So speaking of which, I mentioned the sunblocking company, which Nicole mentioned as well, but we didn't really go into that. So it's an Israeli startup. They've raised a ton of money to do the sunblocking effort. And The Atlantic, which it's a national magazine, most of you probably heard of it, but I will add that The Atlantic is very, very connected to the powers that be in Washington, D.C. So when their articles give any kind of viewpoint, you know, this is the view that our government wants purveyed. And when I say our government, I mean our agencies. So listen to this article about the sunblocking initiative from The Atlantic. This is dated of April 2nd of this year. So just less than 2 months ago. And this is how the article opens up. The world's first major private geoengineering startup must have known it'd have skeptics. The basic premise, dimming the sun to artificially cool the planet, has been called reckless by scientists and climate advocates. Military analysts have said it has real security risks. Don't even get conspiracy theorists started. Still, Stardust Solutions, an American-Israeli company planning to build a solar reflecting system in the next few years, has enough fans that it raised $60 million in 2025. Now it's trying to bring around the public and ease concerns over a technology for which its founders would prefer there wasn't any conceivable global need. Check out that last phrase, basically stating that there is a need for this technology. That's a given, according to The Atlantic, that there is a conceivable global need. So just as a former DC journalist, I will say that this is a very kind of tricky phrasing and very sneaky. I will refer back to Nicole's comparison of geoengineering to the whole COVID phenomenon, where the basic premise, it's such a logical leap, it makes no sense, but they basically state their argument as a given conclusion. And it sets up any skeptic as an unreasonable person who is wrong because they go against the orthodoxy, because there is a conceivable global need, apparently, for blocking the sun. There's been plenty written about the Stardust Solutions. So last year, the publication Wired published a pretty in-depth piece about the company's ambitions. I'm going to read some and hopefully I can get through it before we have to take our break. But anyway, this is from Wired from March of 2025. Quote, I quote, "A startup called Stardust seeks something ambitious, developing proprietary geoengineering technology that would help block sun rays from reaching the planet. Stardust formed in 2023 and is based in Israel, but incorporated in the United States. Its approach is novel. Most geoengineering research today is led by scientists in the U.S. at universities and federal agencies, and the work they are doing is more or less accessible to public scrutiny. Stardust is at the forefront of an alternative path, one in which private companies drive the development and perhaps deployment of technologies that experts say could have profound consequences for the planet. Geoengineering projects, even those led by climate scientists at major universities, have previously drawn the ire of environmentalists and other groups." And just normal people, right? "Such a deliberate transformation of the atmosphere has never been done, and many uncertainties remain. If a geoengineering project went awry, for example, it could contribute to air pollution and ozone loss or have dramatic effects on weather patterns, such as disrupting monsoons in populous South and East Asia. But as global temperatures rise," lots of another tricky phrase that makes you seem crazy if you are a skeptic. "Public and scientific sentiments are shifting. If those temperature trends continue, governments or private entities may ultimately use geoengineering to alleviate or avoid the worst impacts of extreme weather, including deadly heat waves, firestorms, and hurricanes." Notice how, you know, Nicole talked about how they're systematically destroying our weather data, our weather historical data. And notice how weather stories in the news have become more and more hysterical. You know, deadly heat waves, worst ever hurricane season, etc. Let's see. "A few outsiders have gotten a glimpse of Stardust plans, and the company has not publicly released details about its technology, its business model, or exactly who works at the company. but the company appears to be positioning itself to develop and to sell a proprietary geoengineering technology to governments that are considering making modifications to the global climate, acting like some, like a kind of defense contractor for climate alteration. Isn't that great? Nowhere to run. Stardust is moving ahead amid few national and international rules and limited oversight. And a recent report by the company's former climate governance consultant, Janusz Pastor, called for the company to increase, so one of its former employees, called for the company to increase its transparency, engagement, and communication with outsiders. We are having a caller call in. Welcome, you're on the air. We just have a minute or two before break, but I wanted to get you in.
Oh, you can get me off the air. What do you make of all this stuff going on about Bellicero?
About what?
Bellicero, the governor candidate.
Oh, I don't know. Melisel?
Oh, they claim that his campaign committee is under indictment.
Huh.
Yeah.
Matt, are you talking about Matt Mahan?
No.
I don't know who this governor committee
is. Well, it was his campaign chair.
Okay. It's not one of the top candidates?
Yeah, it was.
Becerra?
Yeah.
Oh, Becerra. Okay. Yes, I got you. I got you. Okay. Yes, his... covered that story. So his former chief of staff was also Newsom's former chief of staff, and she is under indictment.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's going to hurt his campaign, don't you?
I don't know, because he is the establishment Democratic candidate, and I don't know. He's got a lot of protection. So it would depend on how well-informed Democratic voters are, who kind of march in line.
Tom Spittle is trying to use it. Anyway, thank you.
Yes, thank you for calling in so much. We will... Sorry about that. We will discuss more on politics after the break. And that's a good segue, actually, because Susan Shelley from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association will be joining us. So please don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump says Israel and Hezbollah militants agreed to a partial ceasefire following an escalation of violence.
The president says he had a very productive call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and that no Israeli troops will go to Beirut. Israel's government ordered strikes in Beirut's suburbs Monday, a day after ground forces reached deeper into the country than at any point in the last 26 years.
Fox's Jared Halpert, an Iraqi man appearing in a U.S. court facing a host of charges, including allegations he plotted to assassinate President Trump's daughter, Ivanka.
Commander Mohammed al-Sadi pleaded not guilty today in Manhattan federal court to 8 charges, including conspiring to provide material support to 2 foreign terrorist organizations, Kataib Hezbollah in Iraq and Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Fox's Brian Yenis, America, is listening to Fox News.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecue tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Hi, and welcome back to Free Talk California. Joining us now from Los Angeles is Susan Shelley from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Susanna.
Thanks for coming back. You got some big fans after your last visit with us. So Very glad to have you back. And there's a ton to talk about. All right. So I think we, even though tomorrow is California's primary election, and I do want to talk about that. I hope everyone has voted already or has plans to vote first thing tomorrow morning. But we, coming up in November, there are some very weighty and consequential tax ballot initiatives. And that's what I really wanted to explore with Susan today. So first off, last time you were with us, we talked about the Save Prop 13 ballot initiative. Do you have any updates on that?
I sure do. It qualified for the ballot. We're very excited. It is on the November ballot.
Great news.
Thank you to everybody. Yes, thank you to everybody who signed that, who circulated petitions, who emailed friends, who stood out in front of the supermarkets. Thank you to everybody. We made it.
Wow. And I did notice a lot of supermarket activity locally for that initiative. there were lots of people out, which was great to see. So tell us about what that initiative does.
It makes it harder to raise your taxes. That's essentially what's going on here. We're having a war in California going on 50 years now of whether it will be easier or harder to raise your taxes. And we think it should be harder to raise your taxes, and the courts keep making it easier. So we are closing the loopholes that they created and putting it back the way it's supposed to be.
So what are some of the loopholes that the courts added in that have helped erode it, Prop 13?
Well, Prop 13 had some provisions in it to make it harder to raise other taxes besides your property tax. And one of them was a ban on real estate transfer taxes, which is like a property. A real estate transfer tax is a percentage of your sale price. And those are just totally banned. So in the 1990s, the court said, well, maybe they're not always banned. It opened up an opportunity for charter cities, which have their own local constitution, to do general tax.
You're cutting out a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I? Let me see if I can move to a better location. Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. So the courts opened up this loophole for some cities to do transfer taxes, and that was in the 1990s. And we are closing that loophole. We're just saying no transfer taxes. Originally, there was a very small 0.11% transfer tax before Prop 13. That can stay. Everything higher than that is repealed in 2 years, and they are totally banned going forward. And the other loophole was from 2017, when the California Supreme Court suggested without really deciding that there's a loophole in the two-thirds vote requirement for special taxes.
Mm.
When taxes are committed to a particular thing, when they're earmarked, they need a two-thirds vote. But the court said if citizens want to raise their taxes, it doesn't count, and it doesn't need a two-thirds vote. So now you have these so-called citizen initiatives, which are really special interest groups, and they are writing their own tax increase, collecting the signatures to put it on the ballot, directing all the money to themselves, and evading the two-thirds vote. We're putting a stop to that. That goes away. Two-thirds means two-thirds, and that's what we're doing. It saves Prop 13's parts that are not about property taxes, but are about making it harder to raise your taxes.
That's great. That reminds me, when you were talking about the real estate transfer tax, one of the taxes, California taxes, that absolutely boggles my mind is the real property tax, where if you're a business owner or like us, you have a farm or ranch, you have to pay every year a tax on equipment that you've purchased that you already paid sales tax on. And if you sell it, there'll be another sales tax tacked on, and yet you just have to pay a tax just to have it on your property.
Yes, business property tax.
Yes,
it's very abusive, I think.
Very abusive. When was that passed?
No, I think it's always been there.
Huh.
I think business property. It's called. It's not real property. It's got another name, but I would have to look it up for you to find the history on that.
Yeah, yeah. Any other tax measures that are good that have qualified, and are any still out there still gathering signatures?
Well, there are some measures that are being verified right now where the signatures have been turned in that would undercut this billionaire's tax, but I don't think any of them are going to make it for this November. So if they are qualified, they would be for 28.
Okay. So that leads us to the billionaire's tax.
Yes.
So last we checked, I don't remember how much capital has left the state in anticipation of this tax, which has it qualified yet? I know that they're claiming that they have 1.5 million signatures, which would put it over the margin, but I'm not sure if it's qualified yet.
Not quite yet. I think they're still verifying signatures on the random sample. I believe the last date that the counties can tell the Secretary of State that it made it is June 18th. And then June 25th is the last date for the Secretary of State to finalize the ballot. So we kind of have to wait to see if the counties, with all their workload, can get it done by the 18th of June. But if they do, then the billionaire's tax will be on the ballot.
And I have to say that, you know, Newsom has been relatively quiet and sanguine about it, even though he says that he doesn't support it, but he's done nothing to try to undercut it. And top Democrats seem remarkably sanguine about it, considering that they've already lost some of their precious slush fund money, as so many major, major people have left. The co-founder of Google and a lot of billionaires have left.
Yes.
Some of the names are escaping me. But considering that it's, I don't know, the last poll I saw was pretty disappointing. It showed a majority support among voters for this tax. So what are you thinking? Is the SEIU going to just use this as a leverage to negotiate for something they want, or do you think they'll go for it?
Well, I'm hearing both things. I'm hearing they want to negotiate and that they're also walking out of the room and not negotiating. So I don't know. Certainly they could. They have till the 25th of June to cut a deal and take it off the ballot if they get something that they want, whatever it is. But the thing that everybody should remember about this so-called billionaire's tax is that it really is a wealth tax on everybody, because it has language in it that allows the legislature to rewrite it after it passes. And they can do that with a two-thirds vote in each house. So as long as the change is consistent with the intent of the measure, it's allowed by the measure. But the intent of the measure is to confiscate money from people, so what's not consistent with it? They could expand the kinds of property that are included. They could certainly drop the threshold down below $1 billion, and that's the most likely thing that will happen.
Yep. And I've actually only saw one person in the past few months. I've only seen one collection of signatures in our area, and it was in my town of Cambria, and it was this old kind of liberal hippie boomer saying, "Don't you want to tax the billionaires?" And it would be very ironic if the people of Cambria, the wealthy liberal retirees of Cambria, passed this, because it, yes, as you said, it could be rewritten and that's who it would hit.
Yes. They would come right down for your real estate equity, because that's where the money is. They would come right down for the middle income retirees, for the investment accounts that people have, as you said, you paid taxes on it and now it's yours. Well, not so much. They're claiming a right to confiscate your possessions, essentially, a piece of what you've already paid taxes on. And that's just, it's not something we do in California, and so it would take a whole new compliance regime. Mm. You can imagine how intrusive that would be. Everybody would have to fill out forms under penalty of perjury. What do you have? How much do you have? Where do you have it? And I can't imagine that the people of California would be okay with that.
No. So what's the rumor that the SEIU is even asking for? Is there any leaking of what they're asking for, to if it could be negotiated off?
Well, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard any leaks on what they want. As far as I know, they're going for it. But there's a lot of pressure from a lot of people, plus these other initiative measures that would take the teeth out of it. And they might buckle, but they might not.
So let's talk about the initiatives that would take the teeth out of it. What is the hope for them? What are they, first of all?
Well, one of them, I don't have them in front of me, but one of them would prohibit them from taking a piece of retirement accounts. And one of them would require audits on all special taxes. So that this would be a special tax and it would be audited. And I think there were some other restrictions in that one also. So that would make the billionaire tax less effective than what the SEIU intends.
I did sign that initiative, I think.
Yeah. They were mailing it to people. They did a very expensive mail campaign to get people to sign it at home.
Okay. I didn't even receive it at home, but I signed it outside of a supermarket. So what kind of, who is doing the educating about the billionaire's tax, and how is that going?
Well, the California Business Roundtable has started a committee to fight against it, and they're already doing digital advertising and, I think, television advertising against it, saying it's not a billionaire's tax, it's an everyone tax. And so they're pounding that message really hard, and it's accurate because, as I said, they could rewrite it with a two-thirds vote in each house of the legislature, and they could bring it all the way down to middle-income people.
It's really terrifying.
Yes, the purposes of the measure are pillage and plunder. So as long as it advances pillage and plunder, it's legal.
Yes. The SEIU is a pretty frightening union. They've just really perfected the weaponization of the ballot initiative to get what they want. They've done it in any play. Let's see, they were after Stanford for a long time to unionize, and so they were trying to use the ballot initiatives to smack some kind of penalties or something on Stanford's hospital over that. They went after the dialysis centers for a long time, and it takes a lot for me to, I'm not a fan of the dialysis companies. They're pretty awful, but because the SEIU was going after them just because they wouldn't allow unionized workers. So no, they have a very long history of doing this.
I think really it's very disappointing to have this game of pulling things off the ballot after they've qualified and the signatures have been verified. It used to be the case before, I think, 2014, that proponents could pull before they submitted the signatures. But now it's the law that they can pull it after they submit the signatures, which unfortunately for the counties creates this tremendous burden of work to verify signatures on all these different petitions that people are not really seriously trying to put on the ballot. And I think it's very expensive. I think it's very unfair. In an election year like this one, the counties really have enough to do, and to create this gamesmanship and make them work all the way through the process, I think is just really a bad law that needs to be repealed.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people get involved in either supporting the Save Prop 13 and other tax initiatives or fighting this billionaire's tax? What's the most effective way?
The best thing to do is to go to the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association website and sign up for email alerts, and we will let you know where the opportunities are to volunteer and how to get more information about everything in your neighborhood. So that's hjta.org, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, hjta.org. Sign up for email alerts and we will keep you informed.
Are local Republican groups helpful in working on these initiatives, or is it local business groups? Who have you seen on the ground that have really been doing most of the legwork?
Well, both, I think. Business groups were helping, and Republican groups were helping, and individual volunteers were helping. When you're in a war over making it easier or harder to raise taxes, everybody hears it the first time. You don't have to do a lot of outreach. People are like, my taxes are too high already. Let's do this. So we think we're very optimistic that we can pass this measure, and it's a constitutional amendment. And it sends a very clear message to the court that we're serious about this.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, I'm excited for discussing the LA mayor's race next. We're going to take a quick break now for some messages from our sponsors, and then we will be right back. We're speaking with Susan Shelley from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. And remember, tomorrow is the primary. Please, please vote. Make a plan for voting if you haven't. Anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Anthropic says it's filed confidentially for an IPO and could go public as soon as this fall. Just last week, the AI lab behind large language model Claude, overtaking OpenAI to become the world's most valuable AI startup, receiving a $965 billion valuation. Wall Street big gainers include MongoDB amid increased interest in its database solutions. MGM Resorts stock soaring after Barry Diller's firm People Inc. offered to buy the rest of the casino giant. Arm Holdings shares flying high after NVIDIA announced that it will use a design from the semiconductor company for its new PC chip, RTX Spark. Wall Street ending Monday on a high note. The Dow ending up 46, S&P up 20, NASDAQ up 114. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier, hearing aid specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthi, and we are chatting with Susan Shelley from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. We are going to dive in a little bit about the LA mayor's race, but first I have some shaming to do. So I just checked the latest figures from a site called Political Data Intelligence, which tracks California ballots, well, for all elections. But anyway, it's not looking so good, guys. So even though early on Republicans were way outpacing their vote share in the state of California and voting pretty much the same rate as Democrats, In the last week, Democrats have really broken away and surged and returned far more ballots than Republicans. At this point, only a quarter of registered Republicans in the state have voted, and almost half of Dems have voted. And the numbers aren't that much different. It's 1.2 million Republicans have voted, and 1.8. Well, I guess that is significant. More than half a million people, Democrats, have voted over Republicans. But if Republicans were all voting, we would be running away with this statewide. So anyway, if you have not voted, please, please vote. Only 16% of registered voters have returned their ballots. So we got this if Republicans don't stay at home, which they say they're going to vote in person, but often they just stay at home. So it's literally just filling in little bubbles. That's all you got to do. All right. Enough of my shaming. All right, Susan. So let's talk about the LA mayor's race, because this has been the most captivating politics I've seen in a while. So what do we think about Spencer Pratt's odds of at least advancing?
Well, I think his odds of advancing are excellent. Nithya Raman, who is the third major candidate, a city council member, is very unappealing. She did very badly in the debate. I don't think she has much of a base. She's to the left of the incumbent mayor, Karen Bass. Maybe she's got a good ground game because of that. She might have a lot of people knocking doors and harvesting ballots, but it doesn't look that way. What it looks like it's going to be is the Democratic machine getting behind the incumbent, and then the voters in large numbers coming out of the woodwork to vote for Spencer Pratt. Will it be enough? It might be.
Huh. Yes, it was so interesting. I was such a pessimist when Nithya Raman announced she was running, because I'm just used to, I've lived in a lot of big progressive cities, and she seemed to have that cool cred that somehow progressives with horrific track records and no plan other than to perpetuate the mess seem to have, but they talk in a way that really appeals to young, foolish progressives. So I was really worried, but she seems to really have crashed and burned and has not performed well whenever she's been put on the spot, whether talking to constituents or speaking in the debate.
Yes. Well, the whole city government has been perpetuating this fake language about the homelessness problem, which has been just making people so angry. And they don't say it publicly, they say it in private groups, but people in Los Angeles are absolutely at their breaking point with homeless encampments, with poop on the street, with drug dealers in all the parks. People are at their breaking point. And the government says things like, these are our unhoused neighbors and you have to pay higher taxes to build apartments.
And most of them are not from Los Angeles. That's been proved too.
That's true. It's a real magnet effect, because there's no enforcement of the laws against doing drugs on the street, and that draws people. So even where there have been apartments built, there are still encampments in the area, and you hear stories of people who are in the apartments going out to the encampments to buy drugs and to do drugs and then going back to their apartments. It's a terrible waste of taxpayer money, and people have had it with this soft language pretending that it's just about housing construction. And here comes Spencer Pratt calling them out for being drug addicts and talking about treatment and talking about mandatory treatment. And that is just music to the ears of so many voters in Los Angeles, just to have a conversation that not.
Well, even years ago, a close friend of mine who lived in Glendale said that, and this was just shocking to me, because when I lived in LA, I went to her house quite a bit, and it's this quiet, very nice neighborhood in Glendale. And she said several years ago, there are homeless people now in our neighborhood. And I thought, how could that be? It's not anywhere close to a main strip, a main business strip. It must be bad if people are spilling out. And as you said, it's It's really sad, but so many of these people are living like zombies, and it's really policy. It's brutalizing policy that's done this to them.
Well, what's happening is there's a whole bunch of money that's come in that's going to these governmental organizations that supposedly provide services for the homeless. And they are perpetuating the problem because they get paid. The more people there are in this situation, they get more money. And they get longer contracts and they get more. And they're doing very well. All of these nonprofit executives with their six-figure salaries are doing very well pushing other people's money here to there on the backs of people who are dying on the street. And it's very corrupt and really evil that this is going on. And it needs to stop. And Spencer Pratt says he'll stop it. He's talking about bringing in the IRS criminal division to see where this money is going, which would be a tremendous investigation to find out how people are just bleeding the taxpayers and driving away in Bentleys.
But it would also mean that the entrenched interests would have an even stronger incentive to do everything they can to make sure he doesn't win.
That's very true.
So I just saw a story I want to ask you about. It was a Sunday story yesterday on Fox News that said mail-in ballots in LA have been found burned and a voting center was vandalized. Do you know anything about that? Is this...
Yes. The situation with the fire, that was an unattended ballot drop box in the Civic Center area outside of a public social services office, essentially Skid Row. And somebody just dropped something burning inside it, I would imagine, and set some of it on fire. The county was very quick to say, oh, we won't tolerate this, and we're going to investigate it. We filed a police report. But the fact is that unattended ballot drop boxes are very vulnerable to all kinds of vandalism. And why do we need unattended drop boxes? Why are we doing universal mail balloting? You know, the state of California mailed out 23 million ballots. And that just can't be secure.
No.
It can't be.
No. So the only way to assure that the elections are fair is to overwhelm the vote.
Yeah. Everyone should vote. I totally agree with you that people very often think, oh, it doesn't make any difference, or, oh, they're going to cheat. If you don't vote, then they don't even have to cheat. So you have to vote. You have to overwhelm the fraud, which is possible. It takes a lot of people to turn out and vote and make a difference. It can be done. But it can't be done if people stay home.
No, and what's so frustrating is I really feel there's so many good people running, people like us who've just stepped up. And it really is not fair to all that they have done to just stay home. You know, you've got to show them your support. And if you want change and you just don't want to sit around and complain anymore, this is really the easiest thing you can do. You don't even have to pay postage. You don't have to put a stamp on it. In-person early voting started a while ago. You know, you can do it. There's no excuse for just 25% of Republicans showing up so far.
Polls are open till 8 p.m. on Tuesday, but they're open today also. So
yes.
Get up and go. You can go to sos.ca.gov. That's the Secretary of State's website, sos.ca.gov, and you can find a polling place. Very easy to do.
Yes, and you can also track your ballot with the county, which I did. Just there, you track your ballot. It should be statewide. So anyway, thank you so much, Susan, for coming on. And then I do want to, we have a minute, but what's the word on the street about Spencer in LA? I see the social media excitement, but it's very hard to know if that's what it's actually like on the ground in LA.
I have to say it's very real. If you look at his fundraising numbers, he outraised the incumbent mayor by 10 to 1 in the last month.
Wow. That's incredible. So, optimism, everyone. Optimism. Get out and vote. None of this 25% business. All right. Thank you, Susan, for coming on. I really appreciate you returning to our show. And for the rest of you, I appreciate you listening. Be well, and we will see you next Monday. You've listened to Free Talk California.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.